At 89.3 FM, this is member-supported WPFW, Washington.
You know, nowadays, it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts and how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing. And willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't want to move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America. Fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning.
Hey, good boy, Mike. Mike on the board back there, keeping us connected. And good morning, listeners, audience members,
yes,
WPFW patrons,
family.
Hey, there you go, family. All right, folks. Welcome to Community Watching Comment Friday edition. I'm Ryan Pinchback, along with Chip Jones, and today. We're going to open our phone lines to, for open mic, as they say, so that you can talk about whatever story or issue that has come across your brain, you know, over the past week. There's been plenty of stories, you know, out there, you know, plenty of consequences, a lot of things going on, and so. We're going to let you pick and choose. We just a la carte. Is that the word, man?
Uh-huh.
A la carte, community comment this morning. We'd like to hear from you. What stories are important to you that you'd like to share, you know, with our listeners? And it can be about any particular topic. So that's why we call it open mic. All right. So give us a call, 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. I also want to take this opportunity to remind folks that starting this weekend, we will be beginning our fall pledge drive. And folks, look out for that. We've got some exciting things going on there. Be sure to tune in. And of course, we got a new app that people can download. And Chip, you want to tell them anything more about that app?
You talking to me?
Yeah. My name is Chip.
I don't know the app.
Oh, okay. It is new. It is hot off the presses, as they say. So you will be hearing more about it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, we're going to be doing all we can to let you know more about it. You can also go to our website, folks, to find out more. All right. Gives you a lot of flexibility from what I understand. All right. Okay. What stories in the news? You know, Chip, you know, I guess, you know, there are plenty, like I said, there's plenty to choose from. Is there finally going to be a ceasefire in Gaza? That's, extremely hot off the press.
Right. I mean, We're not sure if this was just a this was just something that Trump pulled together so that he could try to get a Nobel Peace Prize. so we're waiting to see if this actually comes to fruition with some long-lasting
results. And it seems as though all the participants are at the table this time and are in agreement. So once again, we shall see, you know, and we shall hope. Okay. All right. Perhaps you have some thoughts about that, folks. 202-588-0893. Let's see what else we got going on. The governor's race in Virginia is heating up. Big debate between Sears and Spanberger last night. And, you know, some issues came up with the Democratic candidate for attorney general, whether he's still worthy of seeking that office, over some emails. And, you know how that electronic media be grabbing you by the britches.
Right. It's interesting because that text that he sent, well, you know, inappropriate, I guess, is actually an idiom or a joke from The Office from 10 years ago. I mean, it's, you know, this idea of someone having three people and two bullets, and instead of shooting, you know, two people and not being able to shoot the third person, they go ahead and shoot one person twice. You know, this idea that somebody is so bad that you would let the other two bad people go.
This
is becoming, you know, from the right, they're using this as a rally cry, you know, in the vein of how Democrats or the left, you know, are the violent ones, you know, when we know.
And you know, that narrative, you know, there is not one, you know, substantiated fact regarding that. I mean, you know, we, I mean, think about it. Think about the Confederacy and the willingness for those folks to, you know, shoot brothers, family members, kill people, you know, because that's the way they felt. You know, that's the ugliness, you know?
Yeah.
And now you got people, you know, running around still supporting that stuff. And, you don't have Democrats running around, you know, pretending to be, trying to take over the country with, you know, rebel flags and,
right.
You know, and, you know, ideology is just, you know, just outrageously outdated. So, but that's what
I mean, the numbers don't support it. I mean, the surveys and studies show that actually the right, far right, left is more violent and has more incidents. In fact, there was a DOJ finding that was on the DOJ website, which they have since scrubbed. There was a study done. By the DOJ that showed that right-wing violence accounts for more than 70% of the domestic political violence, but they scrubbed that from the website.
Why? All right, let's go to the phones. 202-588-0893 is the number to call if you want to watch and comment. This morning we got an open mic. You can call and make reference to whatever story that you'd like to share with the listeners out there. You know, we can't be everywhere all the time, so perhaps you can share some nugget that you have come across, you know, of late. All right, good morning, caller. You're on WPFW.
Hello, caller. That's you.
That me? Oh, thank you. My name is Robert Moses. I am concerned about this healthcare crisis. We we should be demanding a single payer health care system like Cuba and China, and we should draw the line, and this is a revolutionary demand and a revolutionary moment, because the ruling class can no longer rule the same way, and the working class will no longer be ruled the same way. So we're in a crisis right now, and we need to take advantage of it, and it's time to be organized.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Healthcare is definitely, listen, those, when those premiums start hitting, you know, that's those increase in insurance premiums. People don't understand, or you know, kind of like run around with like ostriches, you know, head in the sand. When those new fees come due, unfortunately or fortunately, they won't be coming into effect until after the next presidential election. So the candidates, you know, who are running on that stuff, you know, will have that advantage of, hey, well, you know, we can pass this bill, now we don't have no accountability until after the election. So, but right now, those premiums are going to be dramatically higher, and there's no one disputing that. So it's like a ticking time bomb on American families. Healthcare is one of the number one priorities for American families.
Right.
Yeah. And now you gotta, you know, like I say, folks, if you have an opportunity to find out more about that, you know, read up on it, Google it, check it out, you know, ask a friend, you know, but don't keep your head in the sand, because those premiums, you know, are like in a double category, you know, going to double your premiums, you know, so be aware. All right, 202-580-8893, let's go back to the phones. Thanks for that call, my man, appreciate it. Good morning, you on WPFW.
Good morning, how you doing this morning?
How are you?
All right.
Good. I think that I appreciate WPFW a bit more than I appreciate any other news source that I have access to. So I hope that we can get more things internationally like WPFW, where the people control the radio station and not big groups like pharmaceuticals or oil companies or Zionist or whatever, or rich folks. It just is something that I appreciate about WPFW in everything. When they first announced this ridiculous thing by Trump, I said, what happens? They can't accept this. You know, the Hamas cannot accept this, and Hamas did not accept that. But Trump still declared that it was a peace process going, and that's because of a couple things. One is what you said, and earlier you talked about what did you say? I can't remember, but you said something. But I'm saying finally,
he was vying for the Nobel Peace Prize,
right?
Oh, you're right, right. That's what you said, and maybe that has something to do with it. But I think that under the table, even these Arab countries, which have leaders like they have in the United States, like we have politicians in the United States who get paid by the Zionists or pharmaceutical companies or whatever, and they cannot go for what their constituents want, either in the United States or in these Arab countries. And that is one overlying issue that's everywhere, which is rich against poor or rich against middle class. They want to go with the culture that says there's a certain group and they're above other groups because they got money. And one way you can identify them is they have money or some other thing, which right. which is because of their royal blood or whatever it is. They don't have a council of elders like most black nations do or whatever, and they don't put their money into defense like you know, for robbery of the people, other people's resources or lands or something. So it's rich against poor. The other thing is just plain racism. I was so disappointed. I travel a lot. I was so disappointed when I was very happy, but I was also disappointed when I even go to other countries and I see, for example, in Egypt, they open a brand new museum, but they did not take everything from the mummies, and they did not specifically the hair. And why didn't they take the hair? Because in the first 18 dynasties of Egypt, these were Africans, Africoid, as they would say. They would call them Negroes in the past or whatever, colored Negroes or something. And they did not want you to see the hair. So if you go to the new museums, you notice, even though these were complete mummies when they were unearthed, that is not going to be the case. So rich against poor and racism, two issues that overlie everything. You did not hear when they first had this ceasefire, as they call it, with no negotiation with the Hamas. But right after they announced it, you did not hear that they bombed a facility for the blind. because if you had heard, you would have. They did not have to come out and say the usual lie, which is Hamas has control of this, or they have tunnels underneath of it, or something. But racism in the United States. One last point, if I could. The same thing I heard in an earlier program. I was just going to say I heard in an earlier program about John Brown, and that goes with the same thing that Trump said about Hamas. I mean, Antifa. We do not want people who fight for the people or black people or anybody other than the rich. That's all I will say. These things hold everything together.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your call, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Share your thoughts. 202-588-0893. Good morning. You're on WPFW.
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Kind of in line with the first caller, these black people need to consider these revolutionary times. The government or the existence of the United States that preceded this administration will not be and cannot be the same kind of government that will occur after this government is removed, these people are removed. And one of the things we have to start doing is to attack the money system and the financial structure of this country, because it doesn't benefit the majority of the people, but the majority of people go along with it, and that's why they get it. So the governor of Maine, this was not, I did not see any news coverage of this on the in the so-called legacy media. The governor of Maine stated that in lieu of federal non-payments of grants and other benefits that would have normally gone to the state of Maine, that she is saying that the people of Maine should withhold paying federal income taxes. And basically, if we can't get the money that you tax us to receive, if we can't get benefits of that, then we don't give it to you. And that's the stance that should have been the standard default position of the District of Columbia, because D.C. is a territorial citizen, but all the other territorial citizens, Guam, Puerto Rico, Virgin Island, Northern Mariana, they are not subject to federal income taxes, and they have the same amount of non-representation in Congress and non-voting delegates as we do. So all these federal workers, all of these laid-off people, all of these people who are turning in sick strikes, you know, they're being sick, they can't strike, but they can be sick, they need to start understanding, well, this is our money. You are not funding the things that Congress used our money to say you must fund to provide services for the people. The people need to stand up and say, if we don't get services from you, then you don't get money from us. And it's just as simple as that. And so that needs to be a rallying call. And that governor, what the governor of Maine says needs to be stated by every other governor and every other city and locality in this country, because until we, the people, can start to assert control of our money, then we will continue to get this crap that has been given to us so far.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. 202-588-0893. Owning the mic. money, you know. That's what boycotts were.
Right.
Yeah. You know, money talks.
I said money talks. It's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's the one thing they understand. Good morning, caller. You're on WPFW.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Great, great, great. I just wanted to comment on that Palestinian agreement. You ever heard of the GCC? You ever heard of the GCC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Gulf Cooperation Council. All of that was structured by the GCC, which is the Arab countries in the Gulf, along with some of the other big wigs, you know, like what's that? I think it's Blackwater. They got like a $1 trillion budget. See, it's all about money right now. That's why Qatar, when they bombed Qatar, that set it off right there. So they had to stop what was going on. And Donald Trump is just the one who is administering. It's like a lawyer who's working with a client. And he got to make a flea bargain. So he's the one who's at the head negotiating with Netanyahu. But that, he did not draw up. He did not architect this plan. See, the financial structure is about to change in the world. With China, BRICS, you're probably familiar with BRICS, okay? And U.S. is trillions in debt. Who got the money? The Arab countries. They have a coalition. They even have an army coalition now. And so they had to do something. And that's why Hamas had to agree to that. They're going to start building up that area. And it's going to be all about money. But they're going to have some things for the Palestinian people because they need to. Because Palestinian people have been, as we say, slaughtered, persecuted, and also the genocidal, all of that is true.
Right.
But the relationship...
All right, my man, we're going to move on to another caller.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to give you a little bit more, but just check that out. You need to get deep into that, and then you'll see the real picture. And thank you so much. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Yep.
202-588-0893 this morning. Oh, got open mic, giving you an opportunity to talk about whatever issue that you'd like to share with your fellow listeners out there. The number to call is 202-588-0893. I'm Ryan Pinchback, along with Chip Jones. All right, let's get to the phones again. We might got the whole hand up. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I just have a couple comments, and I'm going to be brief. I think that the people should be paying attention to what's not being spoken on media. For instance, you have the ceasefire, and people don't really understand the significance of the ceasefire. The ceasefire was basically to reposition the troops in Israel to secure the border that they now have created as being the new border to keep those who they've run out away. While Donald Trump, according to the memo that was leaked on WPFW, there was a memo that surfaced that stated the demolition is complete. It's now time for the construction bonanza to begin in the East, the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Now you have Kushner, who is now having a voice in this conversation, is now inspecting. Donald Trump is getting ready to go to the Middle East. Once that inspection is complete, then there will be some more turmoil in the Middle East, particularly in that region. And pivoting from your last caller, I would just like to stress to the listeners, particularly the ones of color, it is time now to segregate while we still have the option. And a lot of people look at segregation as being a bad word. That's because that's what we were indoctrinated to believe. My interpretation of segregation is the coming together of individuals of like mind to create a cause and achieve the purpose for which their cause was created. That's not a bad word. If black people don't wake up and step aside and still continue to carry on as we always have been without the assistance of those who are our oppressors, then I think that we as a people would have a voice and in turn would become a powerful people as we were originally. And I thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for your perspectives. 202-588-0893. You're in tune to 89.3 FM, WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. The program is Community Watch and Comment with yours truly, Ron Pinchback and Chip Jones, and most importantly, you, your listener. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Hello, caller. Oh, Rick from Germany. Did we lose him?
Okay, we got anybody else on deck? Good morning, caller. You on WPFW?
Hello, caller.
Hi, can you hear?
Hello, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. I'm calling because I notice there's this one caller that calls periodically about the people in the U.S. territories not paying federal taxes. I just want to briefly explain why that is. Okay, in the U.S. Constitution, if you don't live in the continental United States and you're in a territory which is not a state, you don't owe federal taxes. You only pay local taxes. I think DC people in DC pay federal taxes, myself included, because we're in the continental United States. I don't think it's fair, but I think that's the reasoning. So I just don't want people to have this delusion that it's some kind of a favor that people are living tax-free in the U.S. territories, because they are not.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW? So Chip, so good you can't morning. Be running off, Chip. Get that tax.
I'm headed to Guam.
Yeah, get that shelter. You're trying to get there. All right. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW?
Good morning, Mr. Pinchback. I would like to comment on two things you brought up.
Yes, sir.
Number one, the situation in Virginia with the Attorney General. It's time that black politicians, the leadership and the people, stop listening to this media mess. Let the people decide. I don't care what he said. It is so close to the election. They like these so-called October surprises, but they don't mean anything. Let the people decide who's going to be the Attorney General. We don't have many choices, but let's make the choices that we have worthwhile. I mean, we know one guy is definitely a Trumpite. He's going to do what Trump wants him to do. The other guy at least is offering us some options, allegedly. So let's take the best option. Let the people decide the election. The second thing I'd like to comment is on this craziness that the federal government is doing under this Trump administration. Currently, they said they shut down the government. Then if they want to shut the government down, let's shut it down. They talk about the central employees. They talk about furloughing people. They talk about not paying people. This is not slavery. If they don't pay you, don't work. And to make that impact, people need to take that European model and have a one-day strike. Every day that the thing goes on, once a week you have a one-day strike, let them shut the government down. Let's show them that the people control the government. This is a government by the people, for the people. So let's make it that way and give them something to think about. right now we have nothing to think about. They're doing what they want to do, and we sit back and allow it to happen. Previously, Trump has never, I mean, no administration has ever said, we're not going to pay you. Now he's right. saying, we're not going to even pay you when you're working.
Yeah.
Even though you're an essential employee.
It's also against the law.
That's the end of my comment.
All right, well, thank you for making it. One day strike. Yeah, like the day the earth stood still, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody was, all right, have a seat, have a rest. Nobody worked today, you know? But people, you know, have become so, you know, we're human, so we become so addicted to the income that, you know, it's very, very, it's difficult to do without it, you know, at some level.
Yeah, I mean that's why they want to keep you broke so they can control you. You know, that's why they
broken in debt. Yeah.
That's why they don't want to give you a living wage. You know, they want you know, the minimum wage to be something that people can't really survive on, because that's how they control you.
All right, 202-588-0893. Good morning, caller. Your turn on WPFW.
Good morning. Is that me?
That's you.
That is you.
Hello. I'll tell you how you could. There will be no more government shutdown. Well, next time there's a government shutdown, well, before there's a government shutdown, there should be an agreement or legislation, whereas the Senate or the Congress, they do not get paid. Because when it comes to voting for a raise, the Republicans and the Democrats, the Senate and the Congress, they're always on the same page. So if they don't get paid and there's a government shutdown, they'll come to a decision very quickly. I have two questions I want to ask. I have two questions. One is, this fellow, Agent Orange, is he the same person that called members of the military suckers and losers?
Mm-hmm.
And my second question is, thank you. And my second question is, Ron, are you related to the great Senator Pinchback from Reconstruction time? You gentlemen have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, he's referring to Pinckney Benton Stewart Pinchback, who was during Reconstruction, the first governor. He was a governor appointed in Louisiana. But there were a lot of black folks that were appointed during Reconstruction. And unfortunately, all got reversed
right.
a few years later when Grant decided to pull the troops out of the South. Everything went back to normal. They're normal, as they say. All right. Yeah, check that story out. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. I just want to say I am just so disturbed about our people, because we have been in bondage for over 500 years right here in this country alone. And we still have division and hatred within our own race. I see it on a daily basis, my daughter and I. We have a business in Silver Spring, and there's an area that's called Plum Orchard, and they have many businesses there. You know, you can name all of the eateries in town. They have it in Plum Orchard, Silver Spring. And when we go into these places, it's very, you know, it's so sad, because you see our people calling each other the N-word, these young people I'm talking about, the young men and the young ladies, they have no respect for their own race, calling themselves the N-word. 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking about, because my daughter starts her business at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m., little bakery shop there. And it's really appalling. So we've got a lot of work to do with the structure, get the structure back with these young folks, because You go in places like McDonald's and these black people, like on Georgia Avenue, for an example. My daughter and I go up there, too, because we have, you know, businesses and things we got to tend to up there from my husband. And these adults, they're siding with the young people. They're disrespectful. It's sad in these McDonald's on Georgia Avenue corridor with Howard University. They have a McDonald's there where these adult black people are using foul language along with the young people. These are black people in the Howard University corridor. I said, oh, my God, it was never like that when I was young. You know, minor teachers, college and everything, Howard University faculty, people would go there in some of the places to eat, and it was different then. But now, I was shocked because I hadn't been in that particular McDonald's in years. But when we went in there, it's just appalling how these adult black people, they're acting more childish than their children. No respect. And do you know, sir, that these people are spending black people are spending $1.8 trillion economically buying power, $1.8 trillion. And where does it go? 96% of it goes right back into the hands of white folks, 96% of it. And one more thing, the Spanish and Mexican, they got their house in order. I'm going to tell you, because they're taking over the place. And they're bringing in almost $4 trillion. I looked at that on the Internet. $4 trillion almost that the Spanish-Mexican communities are bringing in. So you know, sir, the government looks at the highest economic minority base. They are going to get help above. Blacks, they're saying, are permanent underclass now. That's what some of these black scholars are saying on some of these shows, that black people now are a permanent underclass, permanent. So they better stop trying to help everybody else, because everybody else has made their way. And Spanish people, really, they put a trickery on black people, thinking that they don't have anything. But Spanish people have homes, businesses in Virginia, all in the metropolitan area, sir. You can go any part of Virginia, Washington, and Maryland. These people are thriving with beautiful homes and different things in Virginia, where my daughter lives, in Springfield, Virginia. Beautiful homes and things that many of them are Spanish. You see more Spanish out every place than you see blacks now. I don't know where the blacks are going. But anyway, that's my comment. And, you know, we got a lot of work to do, because we need a revolution, I think, with black folks. A revolution or something, because they're not doing a darn thing. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's the thing about a vacuum? When there's a vacuum, you know, there's always going to be something there to fill it, you know? And, you know, sometimes, you know, with the employment situation, mm-hmm. There's a huge vacuum out there.
Yeah.
You know, and, but we do have to prepare ourselves to fill it.
We also need to be careful at throwing sticks and stones at other minorities,
right?
Because when you look at it, if you actually do the research, black poverty in the U.S. is about I think it's 17%, almost 18%. Latino poverty in the U.S. is 18-19%. So this idea that Latinos are more well off than black people is not really, the numbers don't bear that out. You know, they're pretty much in line with us. So we need to unify instead of divide,
and not be fighting over the same crumbs.
Right. Because basically we're fighting each other for table scraps when we should be more focused on the big eaters at the table, you know. So.
The carnivores. Mm-hmm. All right, we got another call on the line. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW?
Oh, yes. Good morning.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm going to say, Mr. Pinchback, you've been doing it for a long time, brother, and your love is felt in the community. Your commitment has been awesome, and keep up the good fight. I'm not sure who your colleague is there right there, but I'm sure he's a good man as well.
Absolutely. Chip Jones.
Yeah. I just had a question. Now, if somebody help me out, because I got a few friends who are federal workers who are feeling this latest shutdown, because I believe when Agent Orange was in there the last time, he shut down the government, and he's done it again.
35 days.
Yeah, exactly. Now, from what I understand, and I think people who analyze politics, and I am no political analyst, I don't know much about it, I don't follow it as closely as I could, but I've learned over the years through various outlets that following the money is a good thing to do when you want to see what's going on in this country's government, because after all, this is a capitalist system. Mm-hmm. And following the money seems to be the thing to do. Now, earlier this year, there were a lot of people who were laid off, asked to accept buyouts and what have you, federal workers who went for it, if you will. And some of the people just were blindsided, probably most of them. As we know, it has been said that at least 300,000 black women are out of work based upon this guy's sick policies and all, but I digress. Getting back to my question, if it's been said that every time a Republican gets into that office, there is a raping of the country's treasury. Mm-hmm. So my question is, if they gave these people, these workers, federal workers, the options that they did earlier, and some of them took them up on and some of them didn't, and ones who didn't, they had to continue to get paid. So recently, this country's judiciary decided that a lot of these federal workers had gotten to go illegally, and they brought them back. Now, when they bring them back, and then the government shuts down, you feel me where I'm going, Ron? And the first, yeah, they had to pay them. They had to pay them at first. Now the government shut down. They done found another way not to pay them and to increase the possibilities of raping the country's treasury.
Yeah, except they really haven't found a way. I mean, Trump is saying this, but from what he tried to do the last time in office, a law was instituted in 2019 that requires furloughed employees from the government to be paid their back wages. I mean, he's always throwing this stuff out here and acting as if it's a power he has, but by law, he actually does not have the power to not pay these folks. It's against the law.
Skip, that's what I was alluding to, because I spoke to a couple of brothers who work in the federal government, and they said to me, and I asked them about the shutdown, and they said, oh, man, this stuff is messing with my money, expletive. And I was like, okay. So it got me to thinking, well, if they were going to, before they brought you back, because he was one of the ones who was furloughed, Skip, before they brought you back, paid in full, on time, on schedule, no problem. But now they brought you back, and now there's a shutdown, and now you're not getting any money.
Right.
And this is happening by the tens of thousands. There's people all across the country who's got the exact same story.
And that's the chaos. Yeah. It's like, yeah, they're required to pay you, but they're not required to pay you right now. And you can't, you know, it's hard to go to your landlord or somebody and say, well, you know, I'm going to get the money. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
You know, everybody needs their money. They need their money when they need their money. You know, that's the deal.
And again, brothers, I'm not the most politically astute person, but I do think that when they hold on to these payouts to the workers in the government's coffers, does that money not collect interest?
It does, and it also helps their cronies. I mean, remember they got cronies right. in the banking industry, and they know, okay, if That's these right. people are That's short right. money, then they're gonna start being paid overdraft fees. You know, so the banks make billions of dollars on overdraft fees. So,
wow,
and then some.
Ron, I'm a man. Yeah, look, thank you guys for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for making it, bro. Good to hear from you. Ooh, yeah. All right, I think we got another call on the line. Let's go to it before we run out of time here. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. My name is Daniel. I'm out of Bowie. I just wanted to call in regarding the last sister's comments about black people in our community, the young black kids that are using the N-word and the adults that are right along with them and all of this. So mm-hmm. one of the things that I've been doing and reading, thanks to Bobby Rocks, who's on later this afternoon. Bobby Rocks. Bobby Rocks. Love it. Yes, I love it. I love it. Every Friday, no matter what. He mentions Dr. Claude Anderson, Howonomics, right? And I've been reading that book. And basically what Dr. Anderson's really talking about is how us in the black community, we never really had a sense of community. Like the community that we have is not a true community because, you know, like she was talking about, like the money doesn't recycle within our community. Like as soon as we mm-hmm. get it, it goes right out, you know? So that's one thing. And then another thing, we don't have a code of conduct within our community. You know, so those young black kids that are using the N-word and doing all these things, you know, misbehaving is because they don't like, we can't victim blame when we don't know any better. We can't victim blame the ignorant, you know? So, you know, it's really us trying to form a true community. And Dr. Claude Anderson was talking about this 30 years ago. I wish I knew. Like I was 8 years old when he was talking about that. I'm just now finding out about it because I was confused. I didn't know what was right. going on and why I was in the situation I was in and the projects. You know, I'm originally from New York. I grew up in the, you know, NYCHA, like all of these things. I was just like, I thought, you know, we were to blame, you know, but it was right. systematically set yeah. up, you know, for us to not succeed, you know, and we're the only minority in this country that never really had the chance to form a community other than the indigenous people. I mean,
actually, yeah. that's sort of incorrect because we did have okay. the chance, but the system
right.
destroyed yeah. that. I mean, if you look back through history, especially around the early 20s, 1920s, we yep. had yep. lots of black communities that you're had their own right. money, you know, did well. But they were yep. decimated by
were
white
destroyed.
Supremacy.
Yep.
I mean, they yes, Tulsa. Indeed. We just recently know about the yeah. Tulsa bombing, but there were 21 different mm-hmm. massacres in the 1920s right. of black
you're
communities that
right.
were wealthy and took care of themselves
and thriving. Yes, you are absolutely
and thriving.
Right.
Yeah.
That he mentions that in the book as well, and sort of how integration kind of hurt us in that way. Because we were trying to integrate right. into white society, thinking that, you know, oh, we're trying to be just like you. We want to be equal like you. And meanwhile, yes, you're right. All of the things that we had prior, which we were forced to do because we were segregated, you know, all the businesses that we built up, the skills that paid a bill, all that were taken away from us. You know, so it's really
let me throw this in here because see, this is what DEI is all about.
Right.
Okay.
The Tulsa, you know, massacres, you know, all of the atrocities committed against, you know, black communities occurred when those black communities were, you know, developing, you know,
were thriving.
Exactly. And that became the threat.
Right.
And that became the threat. And that's what DEI is. You know, that's why it scratches my head. And I just cannot understand why anybody would want to be against, you know, diversity and inclusion in the United States of America.
Well, I understand why some people are, because they don't want certain communities to grow up. You know, there's an Australian saying that it's the tall poppies that get cut down, and that's what it is every time black communities rised up, took care of themselves, or thriving, that the white supremacist society said, no, we can't let that happen.
We can't have it. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm putting DEI on the table as the prime example of why, you know, black communities, you know, communities of color get attacked. If we're living in this age now where we're that sophisticated, you know, that smart, you know, that intelligent, you know, then we shouldn't be pursuing policies like this, but we do. Right. And I ain't gonna say we do, they do.
They do. Okay? Exactly. Yeah. So yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Keep on doing the good work. Speaking truth to power. I appreciate you.
All right. Likewise. Yeah, Chip. You know, that DEI button, man. That's just, like I say, I mean, what is the, you know, are you that paranoid? Are you that afraid? You know, that, you know, you're gonna, you know, start, you're gonna reverse discriminate against, you know, black folks,
right?
Because you think they're all DEI hires, you know, and stuff like that, man. It's amazing how far we've gone back in a short period of time.
Yeah. It is. And it's frightening how easy and how quickly it has happened.
Exactly. The frightening is how easy it was. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is, say whatever you're going to say the loudest and longest, and, you know, people, you know, will begin to absorb your message. You know, there's no reason for this. Yeah, you know, we're going to do our museums based on DEI, you know, that they're not including DEI. I said, wait a minute. That's what a museum is, isn't it?
Right. Telling the truth, you know, and definitely not about whitewashing the history. But yeah. So here's something funny. You know, Trump wants to have his face on this dollar coin.
Please.
Have you seen that?
Which
is also against the law, actually, or against precedents, because usually you have to be deceased to be put on currency. But there's a proposal that somebody said is, why don't we get Canada to put it on its dollar coin? Because in Canada, the dollar coin is called a loonie.
Yeah, that is funny. Yeah. That is ironic. Nah, man, you know, too many crazy things going on.
Right.
You know, with this administration, and you know, it's hard to believe what they're telling you, and you look. It's also hard to believe your imagination, you know, that these things could be occurring with such force. You know, they're going to buy more buildings, you know, for ICE detention centers and Oakland, and I mean, look, and Portland and Chicago. Illinois judge fortunately blocked the deployment of the National Guard. At least temporarily blocked the deployment of the National Guard there. I mean, we're sending the National Guard on our own people.
Right. We should stop calling them ICE detention. They're internment camps. Let's be honest. I mean,
yes. And you know, that's all they are. You know, it's all there. I don't know. You know, what's that? Gator, you know.
Alcatraz.
Yeah. Ain't nothing cute about that. Ain't nothing cute about, you know, treating human beings like that. And that's where we are. Now, fortunately, once again, this administration is on the opposite side of the people. You know, you poll the American people, they say, you know, we don't like all this. But for some reason, they lack that fire to stop it. Now, you know, like they say, well, we'll change it during the election. Well, you know, time is running. You know, and people are getting hurt. You know, the country's getting hurt. Lies are being told. And, you know, people have to have access to the truth.
Right.
So that they can make credible decisions.
Well, we've used up another hour, haven't we?
Nowadays, have we?
I think we have.
Put another coin in the meter, man.
save it for next week.
Hey, but listen, everybody, nice talking with you guys. You know, Chip and I, and most importantly, we love to hear what you guys have to say about things. A lot of common sense out there.
Right. And check out the new app. It's pretty cool.
Yes, by all means. All right, guys. We'll be back with you next Friday. Enjoy your weekend as best you can. And once again, just keep your head to the sky. Talking to the people.
Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do.
Brentwood Arts Exchange presents the Listening Room Series. The next concert is Friday, October 10th, 8 to 10 p.m. featuring singer-songwriters Ayanna Gregory and Free Benjamin with an evening of music filled with love, healing, and transformation. On November 7th, Sheikh Amala Jabate performs and Rose Morales on December 5th. Three nights of live music at the Brentwood Arts Exchange. Details via 301-277-2863. That's 301-277-2863, pgparks.com, or on social media at Gateway Arts Center.
The Howard University Department of Community and Family Medicine is hosting the Urban Health Initiative 5th Annual Peer Summit, Peers Reaching Out to Peers, this Saturday, October 11th, from 2 to 6 p.m. at Anacostia Park. This local forum will bring together DMV certified peer specialists, peer recovery coaches, healthcare leaders, and clinicians, all working on the front lines to fight the opiate epidemic and improve care coordination for our community. Details available at 202-250-5668. That's the Urban Health Initiative 5th Annual Peer Summit, Saturday, October 11th from 2 to 6 p.m. at Anacostia Park.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is and as it should.